Let's pray. Lord, reveal your glory to us, that we might contemplate it with unveiled faces, and that it might be revealed in us. Amen. I understand Peter. He climbed a mountain with Jesus and James and John, and he witnessed as Jesus was transfigured before him, as the lowliness, the humility was enveloped in light and power and crackling energy. He saw the Messiah that he knew Jesus to be, but which he seldom saw with his eyes. He saw it revealed in an instant as the glory of heaven streamed forth from his Savior's face. And Peter wanted to stay there. He wanted to make his home in the glory of Jesus. He wanted to put up tents, right? Let's stay here a little while. Let's stay here as long as we can. Let's revel in the presence of our heavenly Savior. Let's soak in the beauty of the Son of God. Let's make this the place where we stay. Peter longed for transfiguration. And when he saw it, when he experienced it, he wanted to remain there. I get it. Don't you? Don't you long to perceive, to soak in, to remain in the glory of Jesus? Don't you long even for that glory to be revealed in you? To have transfiguration happen for you? What Jesus had happen in your life? Because what happened on that Mount of Glory, on that Mount of Transfiguration for Jesus, was that who he truly is was revealed for all to see. Well, at least for those three disciples, right? Who Jesus truly is, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity from eternity, who he always was, though it was hidden, was revealed in full sight. Don't you long for who you truly are to be revealed for all to see? Because you understand who you truly are, right? God has revealed it to you in his word. God has transformed your identity. He has come to you and made you something that you were not by nature. God sent his Spirit into your heart, perhaps at a place like this, or perhaps through study of his word, perhaps through a pastor or a friend. He sent his Spirit into your life to transfigure you, to change who you are from an enemy of his by nature, dead and blind and hostile to him, into his dearly loved child. He's created the miracle of faith and united you to Christ so that his perfect life, his perfect righteousness covers you, defines you, becomes you. So that when you stand in the presence of God, you stand there dearly loved just as Jesus did and does. That is who you are. That is who God has declared you to be. That is what he has transfigured into by the work of his Spirit. Don't you long for that to be? What shows forth, what shines with all the glory of God on the outside of your life as well? See, there's a problem, isn't there? It's that alongside that transfigured new creation that God has planted in your heart, has made your true identity, there's also that old sinful nature, the flesh, old Adam, the one that you were born with, the one that struggles against God. And bucks under the commands and the values of his kingdom. That sinful nature is vying for control of your life, vying to be the thing that shows itself in your actions, in your words, in the way that you live in this world. And so we realize that though we are transfigured people in our identity, in who we truly are, so often what shows in our lives is not what comes from that new identity, but what comes from the old. And so we long for it, don't we? We long for personal transfiguration, for us to be transformed not only on the inside, but on the outside as well, to shine with the glory of Christ. And that leads us to the big question for today. How does personal transfiguration happen? How can it be that our appearance to the world might match who God has made us to be on the inside? And that is a big question, one that runs parallel to one that I think just about everyone in this world is asking. How can I be the person that I'm meant to be? How can I be the best possible version of myself? You see, answers kind of beamed into our life from every single direction, don't we? You see, books on how to manage your time, how to calm your mind, how to be strategic about your decisions. You can listen to podcasts on conversation and parenting and relationships. Universities and colleges market themselves as the places where doors will be open and potential will be unlocked. Conferences and seminars and diets and 10-step plans to a better life. The success stories that are posted all over social media with a convenient link then to buy everything you'll need to follow in their footsteps. All to show you where you've been lacking and help you to overcome deficiencies to be the best you can be. But have you noticed that almost everybody's answer to the question, how can I change, it almost always has to do with something that you do. If you just read this book, take this class, undergo this process, commit to these priorities, stay away from these foods, follow this system, well then you'll be the best version of you. In most people's way of thinking, isn't this true, right? In most people's way of thinking, the only person who can get you to be who you are supposed to be is you. Now, maybe you're hoping that I'm going to give you a special system for personal transfiguration today. Maybe you're hoping that I'll give you five steps to let your light shine, or the Pastor Plucker strategy or system for transfiguring your life, but I'm not going to do that. No, instead, I'm going to tell you what Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you think that personal transfiguration has anything to do with what you do or what you commit to or what you decide to make your priorities, well, then you have a veil over your face and you're not seeing clearly. In other words, if you think that you can transfigure yourself to look like Jesus, right? Jesus is the ideal human. If you think you can transfigure yourself to look like Jesus, you are blind to reality. To the reality that we need to see and see clearly is that God's law, right, the do this and the don't do this of God's word, we have to see that what it actually does is kill. The law is glorious. Paul illustrated that by referring to our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 34. When Moses received the law from the Lord, he was, kind of like one of those glow-in-the-dark stars that you stick on the ceiling of your kid's room, right? When you turn off the light, even when Moses left the presence of the Lord, he was radiant. God's glory had worn off on him, and he was reflecting it to the people that he relayed God's commands to. It was so bright that it was hard for the Israelites even to look at him when he was relaying God's law. The law is glorious. It is. Because it comes from God and it is right and it is true and it is perfect. But it isn't the key to transfiguration. You can't become the person that God always intended you to be by following the law. Because the law does not give life. Paul calls it the ministry that leads to, that brings death. The law only kills. What does that mean? It means that the glory of God's law is a glory that only makes demands. This is the standard, it says. This is what you must do. This is what you must not do. This is how you must be. This is how you must not be. It's a set of requirements that you have to meet. And what happens when you don't? What happens when you fall short of the glory of God? The law condemns you. There's no mercy in the law. It simply reports what you have and you have not done and gives the verdict of how it measures up against God's holiness. You are a sinner who deserves death as the wages of sin. It's what the law does. And so if we look at the law and we see a list of things that we can do to transfigure ourselves, we're missing the point of the law. We've got a veil over our eyes. See, we think the law can glorify us. We think that doing and achieving and accomplishing things can glorify us. But as soon as we look to God's standards to do that, the glory of the law fades. Instead of lifting us up, it tears us down. It kills our pride in our own ability to improve ourselves. It kills our arrogance that we could make ourselves the way we're supposed to be. And if you've been listening today thinking that you don't really need a personal transfiguration, that you're already doing a good enough job of living up to the glory of God as a Christian, well, then it kills that too. It kills your security and smugness before God. The law only kills. If you've been living life with the assumption that being who God wants you to be is up to you, if you've been living with that veil over your heart, I'm trying to rip the veil away. And my prayer is that once that veil is removed, you will look away from the law for justification and look to the only true source of transfiguration. You know what it is, right? Jesus. Paul writes, this is the last verse of our reading for today, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed." And by the way, that word transformed in that verse, it's the same word that's used to describe what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. "We who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transfigured into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." If you want your life to be transfigured, to match your new identity in Christ, look to the one who gave you that identity in the first place. Look to Christ. Contemplate his glory with unveiled face. See it for what it truly is. And the more you do, the more he will change you from the inside, yes, outward, to bring out the glorious child of God into a life just as glorious as his. But when you do that, make sure you're looking at the right thing. When you're looking to contemplate Jesus' glory, you might be tempted to focus on the transfiguration, right? That's glory. It's light. It's power, right? It was so glorious, the disciples couldn't even look at it, right? They were so overwhelmed and terrified, Peter didn't even know what to say. But like the glory of the law reflected on Moses' face, the glory of the transfiguration, it faded away. When the cloud lifted, it was just Jesus once again. Well, that's not the glory you're looking for. The glory you're looking for is what came next. Jesus left the Mount of Transfiguration, and he went to another mountain, to a hill outside Jerusalem. And there, he was mocked and beaten and crucified and killed. Didn't look glorious, did it? But when God's glory is hidden, that is when it is most visible to us. In the suffering and the sacrifice of Mount Calvary, Jesus' greatest glory shone forth for all to see, and that glory was his love. That love is for you. That the law and all its demands held a death sentence over your head and mine. So Jesus let it kill him instead. Now every demand has been met, and all the wages have been paid, but not to you. Your sin is paid for. Your guilt is atoned for. Is there anything more glorious than the love that earns you eternal life? No. It's when you contemplate the glory of Jesus, when you contemplate his love for you, that is when personal transfiguration happens. The more you look at and trust in and dwell in his glorious love revealed in the gospel, the more the Spirit works in your heart. And the more the Spirit works in your heart, the more he strengthens the new identity that Jesus gives you. And the stronger you are in your identity as a child of God, the more that identity will break forth, break out into your life, so that what you look like on the outside matches what God has made you on the inside with ever-increasing glory, as Paul says. So the more you look at Jesus' love, the more love you will have for your spouse, your neighbor, even your enemies. The more you contemplate Jesus' mercy, the more mercy you will show to others. The more you contemplate Jesus' grace, the more gracious you will be. The more you contemplate Jesus' peace, the more peace you will have, and the more peace you will bring into the world that God has placed you in. This is how we change. This is how personal transfiguration happens. Not with rules, not with laws, not with 10-step programs and diet fads. No, it happens when we rip off the veil and see that while the law only kills, Jesus gives life. Life that is resurrected from death. Life after death in the glory of his love. That is glory that doesn't fade away. Glory that never will fade away. Glory into which God one day will bring our bodies and lives in full in the resurrection. Don't you long for it? Don't you want it more than anything else in the world? I know I do. I think you do too. Amen.